Hear you great.
Oh, great. So we're glad to have you with us. I appreciate your time. I'll try to keep it as close to the 10-minute mark as I promised there. So you got a new book out called You're Doing Great and Other Reasons to Stay Alive, and you got this new Netflix called You're Doing Great on Netflix. The timing of this is just perfect because everybody was really bummed out. Did you record it in 2019 or did it come out?
Yeah, I recorded it in October of 2019, but I had top secret information that the world was going to come to a halt right after the release of my book. I originally was going to do it in the spring, and that my secret sources said I wouldn't wait.
Yeah, yeah. It was everybody here in Wisconsin. It's always gray, but we have cheese. So when it's gray, we come inside and we're depressed, and we just.
I love Wisconsin.
I know. Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
We eat cheese, but we drink beer.
Yeah, their beer, and I'll eat their cheese curds and stuff. So that's great. We're kind of theater folks, so we know a little bit what it's like to be on stage, and we love to do that part. And you know, that's why we kind of started the podcast as well, because we just needed something to do and to be in front of people. When you're a comedian and it's your job to be in front of people and perform like that, do you find yourself getting a little depressed when you can't get out and be in front of people and stuff like that? Does it get you down?
Yeah, it's kind of this. It's this weird thing that happens where, I mean, before this, the longest I ever took off was maybe 2 or 3 weeks in like over 20 years.
Wow.
And that was rare that it would be that long of a stretch. And I remember remarking at one point that you start to question who you are, because that's what you do every day, you know?
Right.
And you really, it's not even a depression. It's just, what exactly am I? Yeah. if I'm not a comedian, am I just a guy that recycles? Right. Or
now you, so when we see you, your persona is a very positive thing. We watched your special this last Saturday. I've seen it 3 times. I watched it with the family, because you can do your act in front of just about anybody. There's all kinds of ages can see your show. And is there, now you seem like a nice guy all the time, and I know maybe that's the persona you put out there. I just want to know, has there ever been a time when you've been like naughty or you've gotten in trouble with like the law or anything like that? Is there any bad time going on there that we don't know about?
No, there's no real nefarious time.
Did you get arrested for anything or, you know, for anything?
I got arrested once for having in college on the way home from a concert, a girl had given me a belt buckle and our car got pulled over and they searched all our stuff. And I didn't realize in the back of the belt buckle was a pot pipe. Oh. It was like, and I was like, guys, come on. And they're like, get in the car.
Oh, that's good. What was the concert? What was the concert?
It was the Grateful Dead in Philadelphia.
Oh,
so you know, if they didn't find that belt buckle, they probably would have found something else.
Oh, sure, sure. They would have stashed it on you. Do you?
This was in the olden times when weed was illegal.
So it says, I was reading your bio. I don't know if these are 100% accurate, but it's just all I heard that you went to Ryder College, right?
I was on my way back to Ryder College from Philadelphia.
What did you graduate in? Like, what was your plan B if you weren't going to do comedy? Did you have anything?
I didn't really have a plan B, but my parents strongly suggested that I get a degree.
Okay.
And I went to Ryder College. It was a communications degree. But the reason I picked Ryder College, I was an athlete my whole life. And I went there because they had a theater department, but their football team had gotten in trouble and they were kicked out of the league. So there was no possibility for my father making me play more football, which I knew it was over. I had done it. I went from kindergarten to 12th grade. I'm the same size I am now. I'm like, So it was a communications degree, but my whole time was in the theater.
Oh, that's good. So, now, that's unusual, because when I read your book, and you do some pretty heavy eating. I was reading about a Philly cheesesteak that you had down. It was like as big as your head that you downed. And you look like you haven't really, you don't look as big as you're boasting of eating there. How do you pull that off?
Yeah, I literally just got back from food shopping. I have two breads, I'm heating up the oven right now with two Dutch ovens, because the breads are going in.
Yeah.
And I love eating so much, but yeah. I also did 45 minutes on the Peloton.
Oh, there it is.
Okay.
So there's
something hidden there that we, all right.
Yeah, you got to dial it in a little bit. And it's really not even, I wouldn't mind being chubbier or whatever, uh-huh. but I want to keep my heart in shape. Like okay. my family, I'm cool, but there are people in our family, which is such a weird thing. Like whenever you hear like, well, you know, Uncle Bob had a heart condition. It's like, yeah, but he also grew up in the 50s and right. ate bacon and smoked.
Right. Yeah.
Stayed warm so, in the winter.
So, right. so do you remember? Okay. So there had to be a point where you said, okay, I think I can make a go of this comedy thing. I mean, you got to put in the hours. Are you then, and you like to wear suits in all your specials. You like to wear a nice suit and stuff like that. And all the other comedians that I've seen who wear suits are also, they got some kind of neatness thing going. Are you kind of a neat freak at all? Do you like, I mean, are you clutter or do you not like clutter and stuff?
No, I don't like clutter. I'm not a fan of clutter.
Okay. And
I literally just had a conversation with my daughter.
Okay.
I've been desperately trying to get her to clean up after herself in the kitchen. And I walked in this morning or this afternoon, and the sink was immaculate and right. everything had been done and the pots were drying.
Right.
I was like, did you do that? And she was like, yeah, I did. I was like, you don't understand how happy I am.
Oh,
no stress.
So now you got two, I have two daughters as well. Would she, is she a teenager? Do you got one that's a teenager?
Yeah.
One that,
okay. Yeah. That's, okay. That one's 15. Mine but is, I never heard of the suit thing being connected to the,
I don't know why Seinfeld, when he was interviewed, he doesn't like clutter. Ian, he's a suit guy. And then there's a couple of others. I don't know if that's 100% true. I've seen four people who wear the suits that seem to also like to be, I like things, you know, just a little ship shape and organized.
The only one I could think that would go against that theory, because I think you're right, like Mulaney does that. Yeah. And but if you, the only one I would say, Rodney Dangerfield looked like he wore a suit, but because he had to.
I know. I've seen Bob Zaney. I don't know if he either is clutter free or not.
He is so funny. I did a movie and I was in a movie called The Informant, and I had a scene with Bob Zaney.
Yeah.
And he was just giving straight information in a suit. He was like a lawyer or something.
Right.
I literally had to look at his tie in the middle of his chest, because if I looked at his face, I would break out. I couldn't not laugh at this man.
Did he have a cigar? Did he have a cigar on the when he wasn't?
No
doing
cigar, but his face looks like it's always waiting for one.
Good. What was? I just ask you this one last comedy question here, because it's always interested me. And then we want to talk about your pockets for just a second. What was the first? So there was a time when you got that one big check from doing comedy. Do you remember the first like big ticket item you got with your first big check at all? Like, did you buy a car or anything like that, or a stereo or what?
No, I mean, I don't, no, not, you, not like, not in the early days, not like the first one. I remember the first time I did a weekend, I got $300 in cash from a comedy club in Brooklyn called Toppers.
Okay.
And I was like, I couldn't believe it. And I went home and quit my day job immediately.
On $300.
Yeah.
Do you, I'm sorry. I want to ask this one more thing.
Take your time.
I did some improv for a while, and I do like working on stage, and we would play with comedians and stuff like that. And they used to talk about bits that they would do that they think were just absolutely hysterical, and they would marinate them, and they would do it in front of their family, and they said, yeah, that's good, and they crowbarred it into a routine, and it just didn't work. And they said, okay, maybe it's just the audience. And then they would try it again, but they're convinced that that bit is funny. And then they go out and they do it and still nothing. Do you have any bits like that, that you worked and worked and you said, you know what, this isn't going to work, but damn it, I love this bit. So I'm just going to shove it in there anyway.
Yeah. There are some that you don't quit on.
Yeah.
And it's not even like you pretty much are convinced or not convinced. The audience tells you pretty quickly, we're not buying this. Yeah. But I had this one in my act. I think it made one of the specials. Maybe it was in Freaked Out or Live from New York. It was about a liquor cabinet.
I forget
exactly what it was, but the main thing was that there was a little man living in there, a baby pig man. Living in the liquor cabinet. He had a little suit and he had shoes. And it was such a weird thing that I'm in a liquor cabinet and there's this little baby. Oh, it was the liquor never goes bad.
Right,
right. But if you would put like something else in there, like bacon or something, like like why can liquor stay in a cabinet for a year and nothing's wrong with it? You can't do that with anything else. And you put something in there and it turns into a baby pig man and he's got a little suit and I'm having a conversation with him. And my sister was the only person who thought this was funny. And she thought it was funnier than anything in the act.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of the audience was like, what are you doing?
Nothing, right?
Nothing. And I left it in just because it made me laugh and it made me laugh thinking that she laughed. Uh-huh. But you know, you can't be that self-indulgent, but it's weird though. The weirder stuff, if it does hit with whoever does like it,
likes it
so much with so much more potency. It's much more visceral than if they just like a joke that everybody likes.
Right. When I pay for a ticket to go see a comedian, I try to see comedians more than I go to rock bands. I just have always been like that. But when I pay for a ticket, I like to, I'm paying to go see the, like when I saw Carlin for the first time, I was paying to go see George Carlin. He was at Bally's in Vegas. And I was hoping he would do though a bit that I really liked, even though I've heard it 20 times, I still want to see him do the bit.
Yeah.
But when do you think that when people are paying for a ticket for either they're going to see Tom Papa or do you think they're paying for a bit that they're going to do? Do you try to weigh that out before you get going?
Yeah, I don't know. It's always it's always a question. I do realize now that they do want to hang, as I do when I go to see people, you want to hang with that performer.
Right.
And I think like even it's actually given me more confidence to slow down in between the jokes because I only receive laughter as the signifier that it's going okay.
Right, right.
And what I didn't realize until recently, they also like watching you stop and take a drink of water. They want to see how you're putting your hand in your pocket. They want to see what you're thinking. Like all those little things are also cool to see if it's a performer who you really like.
Yeah.
You know, but then there is that other element where people will say, why didn't you do whatever joke from 8 years ago?
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, why would you want to see that? And like, I like it.
Yeah. Like when you go see a band, it's different than when you go see a band. Cause I don't know if you're paying for the hits, if you're going to see the band, but that's always interested me there. I'm sorry. One of your things that you say, and then you went, by the way, you went to the stool after you said this and you had a drink. I was in Live from New York. You said, I'm living with all women and all the pets are women. And they have a complete, I got a house filled with emotion and a house filled with emotion and a complete hatred of everything that I enjoy. And you went over and you drank the water and you're like, you're damn straight. And you put the drink down and set it back on the stool and you're like, yep, that one worked. And then I also have the same situation. I have two girls and two pets that are cats. So that one just struck me as funny. Can you tell us a little bit about your podcast and then we'll let you go there. I know you got, we might have over talked just a little bit, but you,
the Breaking Bread podcast, with Tom Papa. It's a new podcast of mine where I've just kind of merged the things that I love, which is food.
Right. Right.
And baking and eating and celebrating being with people and comedy. So I've, you know, the idea of like sitting down with somebody, breaking bread if you ask somebody, you know, what was the, who fed you when you were eight?
Right.
Feeling well or something like that. It just launches off into this and great space.
You can get him to talk about other stuff as well.
Yeah. It is that breaking bread phrase is very potent. It really does mean that. Like, there's a difference between us just sitting here and actually sharing a meal together. It's an intimate act in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I really liked your, I was listening to that one with Tom Seguria about his family, and it was really good. If you haven't heard the podcast, to the listeners here, he's got all kinds of community. And you're right. You get to go have them go down avenues that they haven't gone down before. It was really great.
Tom, and the idea originally was before COVID was actually sit in the studio with each other and break bread and drink a little bit and everything. But now 90% of them are on Zoom. I have to only find the reckless people who will sit across from me and eat.
We'll sit across and have a sandwich. I'm sure it's going to work out great. Tom, you got a lot of books out. You got four specials that got three on Netflix and also some on Amazon. You got books that are out there. You're just a very positive influence for this particular crappy year. And I really appreciate you sitting down and taking the time with us. Thank you very much.
Very nice meeting all of you. I'll see you again soon.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you much, Tom. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye. Yep.